I can't look at the rocket launch, the trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to their words, 'cause I like birds.
Who doesn't like birds? We're going to talk about birds this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Last week, U.S. Representative Ron Kind introduced the Neotropical Migratory Bird Act, which would provide protection to over 200 species of birds that migrate to Wisconsin from Latin America every year. The act provides grants for conservation programs in Latin America and the Caribbean, and projects as well in the United States. We will speak with a guest expert about how we might help protect migratory birds in our own backyard and how to attract them, too. We'll welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Mariette Nowak. She is the retired director of the Ware Nature Center of Milwaukee, former Wisconsin Society for Ornithology Education Chair, current board member of the Lakeland Audubon Society, and author of Birdscaping in the Midwest, a guide to gardening with native plants to attract birds. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you with us. And excuse my quavering voice. All of a sudden, I decided to have a coughing fit just before I went on the air. But I'll be okay. So what are neotropical migratory birds?
Those are birds that are long-distance migrants, and they migrate from Wisconsin and from, you know, North America here down usually quite far to Central or South America, and there's more than 200 species that are, you know, go through Wisconsin, probably up to 300, some people say. So we have quite a few species that that migrate, you know, here back and forth, and that's why we need to protect habitat both here in North America and in Central and South America. That's why this particular legislation would be so beneficial to the birds.
Yeah, what's the problem with the habitat, especially in Central and South America?
Well, just like here, there's a lot of habitat loss, and that's what a lot of the funds go towards, habitat protection, and as you had mentioned too, education, researching, and monitoring to provide long-term protection for these birds.
Yeah, and how threatened are these birds? How bad is this habitat loss, and what's it doing to the population of our migratory friends?
Well, many of our birds are declining, and they are monitored here through breeding bird surveys, and right now, in fact, the Wisconsin Society of Ornithology is now in the process of conducting a breeding bird survey here. It's called the Breeding Atlas project, and this is a 5-year project, and then we'll know even more definitely how our birds are doing. But these things are good ways to monitor birds, and at least a third of our birds are definitely declining. So we need to do all we can to protect them, and we can do that in many ways. This legislation would help, but everybody can do to help by landscaping their own backyards for birds. And the best basic thing is to landscape with native species of plants, not the cultivated plants that are so widely available and usually are planted. Our native plants provide the right food for the birds at the right time in their life cycle. And there's a great variety of native plants that are available. We're lucky in the Midwest. There's lots of nurseries that carry native plants.
Yeah, and so why are the native plants better than those, the non-native plants?
Well, for one thing, they usually provide the nutrition at the right time, as I said, because the plants and the birds co-evolved together through millions of years. So the plants, in fact, have actually adapted in many ways to attract birds, either to disperse their seeds Or in the case of hummingbirds, we have hummingbird flowers that are especially shaped to attract hummingbirds. And the birds, of course, also help with the pollination of plants in turn, and they also disperse the seeds by eating the berries and seeds and so forth. And so there's mutual benefit between our native plants and birds, and you don't find that with the non-native plants. For example, many of our birds are insect eaters solely. Some of them, most of them, in fact, 90% of land birds depend on insects to feed their young. So if we want reproduction of birds, if we want them breeding year after year, we have to provide plants that support insects. Our non-native plants generally have chemicals in them that make them unpalatable to birds. So, in fact, one example of a great way that birds and plants are adapted is oak trees, for example, host many, many little caterpillars of different species in the springtime, just during migration and when birds are coming back from Central and South America. And so a lot of our warblers, for example, which are mostly insect-eating birds, will feed in oaks, and is a good place to look for warblers as they're moving north. So, and then later on,
let me ask you first. So warblers are. I wanted to talk about some of the examples of the migratory birds that we would know.
Sure.
You mentioned, you just mentioned warblers and hummingbirds. What are some others that we see in our own backyards that we may not realize depend on that they are the migratory birds?
Well, there's the orioles and the scarlet tanagers. Are two beautiful examples, and many of our shorebirds also migrate long distances, and those are a few examples. Hummingbirds, for example, are just remarkable when you really think about their migration. They migrate twice a year, spring and fall, 600 miles over the Gulf of Mexico, which is such a remarkable feat for this tiny little mite of a bird.
Yeah, it's so beautiful, too. Help me understand, and I don't know, it just occurred to me, the hummingbird comes to Wisconsin, flies here for the summertime. It wants to have our native plants to drink from and not necessarily some tropical plant?
Well, in the tropics, they'll eat tropical native plants. But up here, they do. The native plants generally have more nectar. In fact, one of our native vines, which is called the trumpet creeper, is supposed to have the richest nectar of any plant in Wisconsin. So, but our native plants generally do provide the best nectar, the richest nectar for our birds, they're very valuable.
Yeah, and what other sorts of plants might we consider if especially we're interested in hummingbirds?
Well, I can give you some specific examples. There's a kind of a top 10 list of their favorite flowers to nectar on, and blazing stars, there's a variety of them in Wisconsin. There's about 5-6 different species. Cardinal flower, royal catchfly, wild columbine, fireweed, jewelweed, Michigan and prairie lilies, bee balm, and phlox, and fire pink. Those are some of their favorites. And I might mention that two of them are really important for migration. The wild columbine is one of the first flowers in Wisconsin to flower and provide nectar, and it's really used a lot by migrating hummingbirds. As they're going north. And then the orange jewelweed is their favorite native plant as they go south, and they kind of feed on that. Ornithologists have found that they feed on the orange jewelweed as they go south in their migration to Central and South America.
Yeah, and they need a lot of fuel for that migration. That's a long way, isn't it?
Right, right. Yeah, birds have to put on a lot of fat to help them migrate. In fact, some of them build up fat reserves up to 50% of their body weight in order to prepare for migration.
Yeah. Now, we have a minute just before news time. I might say Gary on Facebook was kidding, I hope when he said he wonders what it would be like if you'd put a shot of vodka in a hummingbird feeder. You don't want to do that.
No, no, that could cause them to have liver problems just like it would for us.
Yeah, I think
if we have too much. You
so
know.
Not really funny. Mariette Nowak is our guest. She is author of Birdscaping in the Midwest, a guide to gardening with native plants to attract birds. And we welcome your questions about how we might attract birds to our backyards and how we might help and protect migratory birds. As migratory birds certainly are facing some threats and challenges with habitat loss. What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. The news is next. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about protecting and attracting and helping migrant birds in Wisconsin. Our conversation prompted in part by U.S. Representative Ron Kind introducing last week the Neotropical Migratory Bird Act, which would help provide protection for over 200 species of birds that migrate to Wisconsin from Latin America every year. Talking with Mariette Nowak, she is the author of Birdscaping in the Midwest, a guide to gardening with native plants to attract birds. She is also a board member of the Lakeland Audubon Society. She is a former Wisconsin Society for Ornithology Education chair and retired director of the Ware Nature Center in Milwaukee. And we're welcoming your questions for her about migratory birds and helping them and attracting them. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mariette, we knew about you because you have been on Larry Mueller's show, and we have your book as well. But we also saw this tip sheet that that you wrote when you were education chair for the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, and it talks about planting a migrant bird garden. So first, why would we want to plant a migrant bird garden? Are you there, Mary? I'm sorry. We're having a few technical issues. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can
okay,
you hear
yes,
me now?
Yes. So why should we plant a migrant bird garden?
Well, of course, we want to have birds in our garden. And scientists have found that there are a lot of problems as birds are migrating north or south in spring and fall. And, of course, they need places to refuel, just like we need gas stations to refuel our cars and so forth. So it's very important to provide for them if there's inclement weather. And, you know, so much of their habitat has been taken over by development that they don't have the stopovers that they used to. So a migrant garden is basically a stopover garden for the birds, so that they can migrate successfully to their breeding grounds and to the southern places for their winter stay.
And what should we plant in our migrant bird garden?
Well, as I always recommend native plants, and there should be some of the best way to plant for them is to plant multiple layers of vegetation, native trees, shrubs, wildflowers, and grasses, and that will provide both shelter and food for migration. I also suggest that you avoid herbicides and insecticides if at all possible. Don't use any. And just to give you an example of things for spring migrants, they eat primarily insects, as I touched on earlier. So you want to plant native species since they typically host more insects than our non-native plants. And some of the best trees are oaks, willows, and hawthorns, because they host a lot of spring insects. And for fall migrants, they typically eat a lot of fruit and seeds. So that's what you want to provide for them, some of the best shrubs. For for migrants are species of dogwood. We have a number of great species of dogwood in Wisconsin, some for wetter areas or drier areas or sunnier, shadier. So you're sure to find one that would suit your yard just fine. They have very high fat berries. But there's also other shrubs available and trees. And then you want to plant seeds for the seed-eating migrants, like a lot of sparrows and goldfinches and so forth.
What kind of seed-bearing plants?
Well,
do we
wildflowers plant? And grasses, like a small prairie patch or something, would be great, or a larger one for that. But depending on the size of your yard, a lot of the wildflowers would be just great. And then they can actually get a little shelter in the stems of the wildflowers and grasses, too. Most native plant gardeners don't cut down or mow down their grasses and wildflowers until spring. So that allows for a lot of feeding and shelter for the birds as they go south.
Yeah. So it's the middle of summer. Can I do anything right now for that might help the fall migrants?
Basically, the best thing you could do now is plan your garden. You could start getting rid of your lawn and preparing a bed for planting in the fall. You could plant a native garden in the fall of the year. Summer, with our dry weather, often it's dry or droughty and so forth, is not the best time to plant native plants or any plants. Spring and fall are the best times. And one of the ways you could get rid of your lawn, and then you could plant those wildflowers and native grasses. By grasses, I mean native grasses. Generally, they provide the best nutrition. You could use a sod cutter to prepare an area, or you could simply mow it short and then lay some old carpeting or cardboard and wood chips over an area to start killing the grass, and then it would be help to get ready for fall planting.
We are talking with Mariette Nowak. She is the author of Birdscaping in the Midwest, a guide to gardening with native plants to attract birds. Welcoming your questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Kelly in Jefferson has been waiting. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. What plants or herbs, if any, attract sandhill cranes?
Sandhill cranes, well, of course, they do like to feed in farm fields, but any tall grasses. We have, in fact, not far from, only a half a mile away from my house, the cranes are feeding in a field and in the vegetation along the shore of a lake. So they are basically prefer kind of wet prairie areas and so forth. So any kind of native vegetation like that would be attractive to them. In fact, yesterday my husband noticed that they were feeding on mulberries that had fallen. A lot of the mulberries in our area are dropping their fruit now. So that was a surprise to us. But they eat a lot of invertebrates too, little insects and so forth. And then they'll, obviously, Dave saw that they were eating the berries. So they have a variety of foods that they eat.
Okay, Kelly?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. You know, I was on a bike trail last week, and I saw mulberries just squashed all over that thing.
Yeah.
And there, that's a native plant. Is that a recommended plant for my migrant bird garden?
They are very excellent for a lot of fruit-eating birds. We'll have robins and cedar waxwings and a number of different birds will feed in the mulberry trees, so they are good to plant. They're great fruit bearers, and I'll pick some of them on the lower branches, but the tall branches, of course, are unavailable, and the birds feed on those quite a bit.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm making a list because I have a spot where a tree unfortunately died in my yard, and I'm thinking of a replacement for it. Maybe a mulberry. And I do have a Juneberry or a serviceberry.
That's a great one. Yes, I have one too, and that's one of the first trees to bear fruit for birds. I like to suggest that people have fruit-bearing shrubs or trees throughout the season, because we have a lot of variety in Wisconsin among our native shrubs and trees that bear fruit. And so the mulberry and chokeberry, too, is one of the early ones. And then later on in the summer, of course, like now, the mulberries and the raspberries and blackberries and so forth. And then in fall, the fruit-bearing shrubs include viburnums and the dogwoods that I mentioned before. Both of those are groups of great Midwestern shrubs. There's a number of viburnums, just like there's a number of dogwoods that will bear fruit. And the mulberries keep their fruit a little longer, so it's good to have some of those, too, for the late migrants and into the late fall for them.
You know, I see photos of cedar waxwings, I believe they are, and I'm not the expert, but they're always munching on some sort of berry. Do you know if they have a favorite?
I don't know if they have a favorite, but I've seen a lot of them on some of the hawthorns and the Juneberry or serviceberry that you mentioned, too, in spring. It depends on where and they actually love the berries on the cedar trees, the red cedars. Especially in winter and late spring and so forth, when there are no other berries available in Wisconsin. And that's where they get their name, of course, cedar waxwings for the cedar trees. And so they are our most fruit-eating bird. They eat more fruit I'm not quite sure, but I think it's up there about 90% of their food is fruit. So, they do love their fruit, and that's good to provide for them. They're beautiful, classy-looking birds,
yes,
I think.
They are. Let's go next to Mike and Slinger. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, my question is about bird feeders. I put my feeders out generally the end of October, early November, and over the winter I get just tons and tons of goldfinches that aren't gold until the spring.
That's right.
Yeah, but lots of finches, and I get the cardinals, and I get some blue jays. But then in the spring, I get indigo buntings, and I get rose-breasted grosbeaks, and I get the scarlet tangers, and, of course, then I get the cardinals and everything else. And then I watch the finches turn yellow. But they just love this. I used to put out thistle seed.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even touch that. They just love the sunflower seeds. And I put out three feeders, and then, of course, I put out the orange and the grape jelly for the for the Orioles and the Baltimore Orioles, and what's the other ones that come through and eat, even the cedar wax, but the
catbirds too.
They eat the grape jelly too.
Yep.
And then of course by maybe the end of May, early April, they're pretty much all gone. So is there anything I can do to get them back when they come back through? I don't know how far the birds migrate.
I see. Likely the birds that you mentioned are likely to be nesting right here in Wisconsin, but those other birds don't come to the feeders so much. However, I've been continuing to put out jelly for the birds, and I still get orioles coming. So some of the other birds, I think they're just so famished in the spring, like the indigo buntings, they're unlikely to come to your feeders later on. They're probably eating insects. As I said, most land birds feed insects to their young, so they're not too interested in the seeds or the jelly anymore. So a lot of those birds you mentioned are probably just nesting around you because they are nesters in Wisconsin, like the scarlet tanager. Do you have a bird bath? Our scarlet tanager, for one, comes every afternoon for some, and I've heard this from other people, they seem to like to come to the bird baths in the afternoon. And so you might see them by having a bird bath near your window so you can see them.
Okay. Yeah, I live in the middle of 20 acres of woods, so I've got lots of oaks and I've got lots of stuff. And I've got a choke cherry tree that I've been nursing, and it's now about 20 feet high, and it's just loaded with berries. And
how great. Yeah.
I get That's the robins wonderful. In there or whatever's coming through in the fall.
Sure.
To go in there. And
sounds like you have a wonderful yard there.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. Yeah, the choke cherry, that's a native, isn't it?
Sure it is. Mm-hmm.
If I understood that correctly, just Mike, the birds are around, but they've got other sources of food and all those oak trees or whatever else, and they're not necessarily coming to his feeder, but they're probably around.
Right, yeah. Right. That's why I suggested the bird bath, because some of them won't come to feeders anymore, but they do like a bath, especially during the drier periods.
Yeah, what do you, I thought Mike was even going to ask if it was a good idea or not to feed birds with a bird feeder. Is that helpful?
Most people do feel it's helpful. Mm-hmm. There have been a few comments that maybe you're keeping birds too close to the house or something like that. But the most important thing about bird feeders is to keep them clean. Incidentally, I have bird feeders, and I feed all year round,
yeah.
So you can see I'm a big fan. But I do, especially hummingbird feeders, I've seen so many people that forget to clean their feeders. They'll add fresh liquid frequently, the hummingbird liquid, which it should be like one part sugar and four parts water. But they forget to clean it, and that can really harm the birds with the bacteria building up. And if it actually ferments, you had the question about the vodka, that actually can harm the birds, just like eating and drinking too much alcohol can harm us. It can affect the livers of these small birds, and you can imagine it doesn't take much for their tiny little bodies.
Yeah.
So clean those feeders and keep up the feeders as long as you want,
yeah.
You know, all year if you want.
How frequently would you clean them in just dishwashing liquid or something else?
Sure. Some people suggest using bleach, but I like to just add a little vinegar when I'm cleaning them as well as the dishwasher soap. And hummingbird feeders, I think the best thing is to do it about twice a week in the summer, especially when it's warm like this. And then maybe in early spring or late fall when it's cooler, you could do it once a week. Other feeders, depending on how they get, you could clean them once a month, I would suggest, in the summertime, the larger feeders. And one of those problems in like late spring or fall when a lot of the seeds fall on the ground, some birds just kind of swish them out, they can get a mold on below your feeders or even in your feeders if you have a tray. So that's, I think, spring and fall and even late winter are especially important to clean up below feeders and to clean your feeders of anything that could get moldy.
Yeah. Sydney wants to know, what effect does bird food like bird seed or nectar have on a bird's diet? Do they eat fewer plants fewer plants if you're providing this food?
Well, I have found that they do. For example, we're talking a lot about hummingbirds. I found them to feed on my flowers. And as well as the feeders, and I guess they, the more you have of both, the more hummingbirds you're likely to have.
Yeah.
But I've kept my hummingbird feeder up, but I have seen them on the various flowers that blossom through the year, or through the summer.
Yeah, and we have 30 seconds. Is the red dye added to hummingbird nectar harmful? Someone wants to know.
You don't have to add red dye as long as you have some red on the feeder. Red is attractive because a lot of our red flowers have a lot of nectar. So most hummingbird feeders always have red on them. I never use dye. And some people say that the dye can actually be harmful.
Yeah, and sugar and water is all you need. You don't need
red
dye.
Right, as long as there's some red on. You can even put a red ribbon on the feeder if it's not red, to keep it to attract them.
We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about what we can do to help and to attract migratory birds to our own backyard. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I can't look at the rocket launch, the trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to their words, 'cause I like birds.
We are talking about birds and how to help and protect birds. Our conversation prompted in part by U.S. Representative Ron Kind last week introducing legislation to reauthorize the Neotropical Migratory Bird Conservation Act, which will fund habitat protection, education, research, and monitoring to provide protection for neotropical migratory birds. This program provides grants for conservation programs in Latin America, in the Caribbean, and Central and South America, and the United States. This act has not been reauthorized since 2010. We are talking about the issues facing neotropical migratory birds and how we can help them. Our guest says that this act is one way and a good way, but also we can plant a migrant bird garden in our own backyard if we want to provide them some shelter and food as they make their way to and from Wisconsin. More than 200 species of bird migrate to Wisconsin from Latin America every year. Our guest is Mariette Nowak. She is a former Wisconsin Society for Ornithology Education Chair, current board member of the Lakeland Audubon Society, retired director of the Ware Nature Center of Milwaukee, and author of Birdscaping in the Midwest, A Guide to Gardening with Native Plants to Attract Birds. If you have a question for her or a way that you are attracting or helping these migratory birds, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Joan on Facebook says, please address the impact of cats on this population. Mariette?
Oh, yes, that is a huge problem because so many people either aren't willing to keep their cats indoors or are unaware of all of this. But there have been a number of different studies that have shown that free-ranging cats kill millions of birds in Wisconsin alone. In fact, it's more than that. Recently, the American Bird Conservancy and Smithsonian got together and analyzed all of the studies that have been done across the country, and they found that it's not millions of birds, it's billions. The median number of birds that are killed by cats is 2.4 billion. That's the median,
wow.
So it could be more. So keeping your cats indoors will save many, many birds. And there is a great program that the American Bird Conservancy has called Cats Indoors. And you can read about it at their website, and that's the American Bird Conservancy. And they even have tips on how to have a happy cat indoors. And, of course, most veterinarians suggest that you keep the cats indoors for their own benefit. It's better for they don't get into car accidents. They don't get killed by other animals or pick up diseases and so forth. And it's good for our kids, too, because cats aren't contaminating the sandbox.
That's right. They like those.
I had children, yeah. And I had to think about that. So, yeah, so there's so many reasons to keep cats indoors. And
I keep my cat Ray indoors. He does like to look out the window at the birds on the feeder. But that doesn't scare too many away. It seems that they're still there.
Oh, sure. It depends, of course, how close they are.
Yeah.
And so forth. We had two cats for many, many years as pets for my sons, and I think cats are quite beautiful. I love them. But when we found out, and that was many years ago before all this was publicized, when we found that they were killing birds, we kept them indoors.
Yeah, right. Let's go. We have other callers. Gail in Waukesha is with us. Hi, Gail.
Oh, hello.
Go ahead, Gail.
I'm just calling to say that I attract hummingbirds to my yard. I really enjoy that. And one thing that I've done for them is I've put out a little mister, especially when it's really hot. I don't do it all the time, but when it's really hot, a little mister, and they will fly through that once in a while. And also I made a little swing for the hummingbirds to sit on, and they sit up there and they will kind of look over the yard. We have one that we call the yard boss, and he just takes over.
I love it.
Oh, that's a great idea. Swing, I hadn't heard about that. Is that just a little rope or something?
Actually, no. It's they sell them in, like, the National Audubon Society.
Oh, they really? Oh, that is pretty
and
cool.
It's like a piece of wire, and you you fashion it into a square and attach a little piece of bamboo at the bottom, and there you've got your little swing.
I love that, Gail. If you have a photo and you have the time, we would love it if you would post it so we could see your yard boss on his swing.
I will try to catch him because I do photograph them also.
All right. Thank you very much, Gail. Let's try Rod in Weyerhaeuser. Hi, Rod.
Good morning, Joy. Another good program. And I just kind of listening and curious. You know, naturally, when this is like virgin pine, this is up in the Rustonian northern quarter of the state. If this would have been, just for example, untouched by man, and it would probably still be a lot of the basically pine. So really, in all honesty, what would be the natural birds to see in that, you know, because there wasn't sunflowers here, they claim. I mean,
And Rob, because we're so short on time, I'm just in the Northwoods. Is there, you know, what native plants maybe should he be planting to attract birds?
I didn't hear him real well. Did he talk about pines?
Yes,
so
he said
far?
We have a lot of pines up here. There, you know, he wouldn't plant a sunflower. That's not natural. He thought to the Northwoods.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I do have a chapter in my book on woodland gardens, and pines are great for some of our birds. You know, some of the birds are actually adapted towards evergreens, and they tend to be up north in Wisconsin more often. For example, you've probably heard of the pine siskin.
Yes.
And so they are really specialized on pines. So I have a chapter on that. Let's see if I can quickly find it. I presume he's asking about some of the understory plants that he could put in with pines?
Yeah, maybe, and we only we have less than a minute.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think just because he was talking about a number of things and we didn't have time for it.
Yeah.
So, Mariette, never mind. We'll leave it there.
Okay.
That pines are good for birds.
Yes.
The reason why we are cutting things a little bit shorter than usual is we have a special report on the efforts to help butterflies in Wisconsin, some that are, you know, already listed as endangered. Do you have a thought on native plants and butterflies?
Right. Prairie gardens are great for butterflies because a lot of the plants that are in prairies also offer food for the caterpillars of the birds, and also they will for butterflies also. So, and I just want to mention that one of the best things that I think everybody could do, and I think everybody should have milkweed in their gardens. You all, I think most people do know that monarchs are in trouble. They're at one of their lowest ebbs, a little better than last year, according to the report for the overwintering monarchs that survived. But we still should all be planting milkweed. Milkweed is great for the caterpillars, and we have several different kinds of milkweeds in Wisconsin, too, that can help with, depending on what kind of habitat you have to offer. We have about, five, more than
and
five.
I'm sorry, Mariette, thank you very much. We will put that down, too. Thank you very much for being with us. Mariette Nowak is author of Birdscaping in the Midwest, A Guide to Gardening with Native Plants to Attract Birds. About 150 species of butterflies can be found in Wisconsin, but scientists and activists warn that some of the butterflies are already listed as endangered, and others may be headed toward that designation. Chuck Quernbach has this update on three species that look to some to be in trouble.
In the Scuppernong Prairie Natural Area, southwest of Waukesha, endangered species biologist Phil Delphi is hiking through the native grasses. He's on the lookout for butterflies, and he can name a species when one floats by.
It's called Great Spangled Fritillary.
But Delphi, who's with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, really joined a team of butterfly surveyors from the DNR and other agencies to look for the Powashiek skipperling. It's a small butterfly with a mix of gray, brown, orange, and lavender coloring. Last fall, the Powashiek went on the federal endangered species list. Delphi says about a dozen years ago, biologists started noticing a major decline of the insect in its typical range across the upper Midwest.
Something just pulled the rug out from underneath the species, and it just, even in places where the habitat still looks great, its nectar plants are there, the larval host plant is there, the larval food plant. It's just gone.
Delphi says there are various hypotheses, including that pesticides being sprayed nearby are blowing onto the prairie remnants where the powerchic skipperling used to be found. But he says there's nothing that can be proven yet. Delphi and the DNR say no powerchics were found during a half dozen surveys at Skuppernong last week. Another endangered butterfly, the Karner blue, seems to be doing better in Wisconsin, enough so that the annual Karner Blue Festival is still on for this Saturday in Black River Falls. And in May, one man mocked the insect's protected status by appearing to eat a Karner blue during a YouTube video.
I guess I'll try one. It's kind of crunchy.
But scientists say there could be a new threat to the Karner blue starting down in the southern part of its range in northwest Indiana. Notre Dame University professor Jessica Hellman says at the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore, gradually warming temperatures may trigger the need for habitat adjustments for the butterfly.
We talk about, do we need to do some habitat creation on more northerly slopes that would be a little cooler? It sounds like I'm being evasive, but these are exactly the questions we're struggling with on a day-to-day basis.
Hellman says Karner blues in Wisconsin could also be harmed if the weather is consistently hotter or there are more intense storms. Intense is also a word for the automobile traffic along this part of U.S. 45 in Milwaukee County, but just yards away is one of the migration routes for the monarch butterfly. The federal government is considering adding the monarch to the threatened species list, and Barb Agnew of the Friends of the Monarch Trail says there's good reason for that deliberation.
For someone who used to just, you know, be awash in monarchs and different butterflies, I get so excited now just to see one.
But Agnew has been working with developers who are putting up buildings on the county grounds, as well as with the state DOT and others to try to protect what's left of this monarch stopover point and improve it. Agnew says volunteers are planting milkweed plants and finding other ways to step up.
There's enough momentum, enough energy, enough passionate people who are concerned that are going to help us to make this happen.
The Obama administration may decide by next year whether it too will aid activists like Agnew and add federal protections for the monarch butterfly. Chuck Quernbach, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And this is Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll post more information on how to help butterflies and birds on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page.